Dear Lord, we love you. And God, we can't wait for that day. Lord, I pray that you be with Brother Brian now as he comes and shares. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated.
Well, amen. Thank you so much for the great worship songs this morning. Good to be with Jack and Melissa. As he said, we've known each other a long time. I've known several of you here for a long time, Mike, and several others. So it's just a joy for me to be back with you. I appreciate your pastor, Brother Bill, inviting me to come. And I have a lot of respect for Bill and his ministry. And I'm just so delighted at how he's been used of God to lead you as a church. And I hope that you'll show him a lot of appreciation this month. If you hadn't already, this is Pastor Appreciation Day. See, I couldn't toot my own horn back when I was in the pastorate, you know, but now I can say you can't overdo showing your pastor how much you appreciate him. You cannot overdo it, I promise you. So show him how much you love him, okay? And I'm glad that he did call on me to come and share with you today while he was out of the pulpit. But God bless you for being here. Can I say another prayer and just thank the Lord for this privilege? Lord, thank you for the privilege of worshiping with these dear folks. And I thank you for this church and what it means to this community. And I thank you for Bill Wright and his wife and family. And I thank you for their ministry here at Trinity. And Lord, we just pray your blessings on this church as they continue to reach out to this community and show others the love of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for this worship. The songs we've sang this morning just remind us how much you've done for us, how much you love us, how much we need you, how you provide everything we need. And you provided our greatest need, Lord, the gift of your Son Jesus on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven, have a relationship with you, enjoy the life you want us to live serving you here on earth, and then that glorious eternity we'll get to spend with you and all of God's people forever and ever. Lord, bless this time. Speak to our hearts through your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be looking at the Sermon on the Mount this morning, a passage very familiar to you, I know, Matthew chapter 5. And I want to approach it from the theme of making a difference in the world. That's what Jesus really is going to call us to do when I revisit these verses. Jesus said, be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. He was saying, make a difference. Make a difference for me in the world. So I want to use a modern day term. In the early 2000s, you know, the internet really came into being and people were seeing all the advantages of internet connectivity, and then it didn't take too long. Many people found a way to make money off of that, you know. And I want to use the term influencer. If I say this to most of the young adults here today, all of them, kids as well, they know what an influencer is. Some of you my age and older may not realize there are people on social media that are influencers. Sometimes they're a good influence, many times they're a bad influence, but what qualifies you to be an internet influencer is that for some social media platform, whatever they choose, they gain followers, and as they gain numbers and numbers of followers, there's creative ways to be an influencer, and so it could be that you do these creative YouTube videos and you brag on products. It could be hair products. It could be fashion that you wear. It could be opinions that you share. And so as you gain a million plus followers, advertisers are interested in supporting your channel, whatever it may be, TikTok or whatever, and they'll pay you based on how many people watch your video. And you can make a couple hundred thousand dollars a year not even being that great. And then there are some people really great that have made a career after their career of being world famous with something else. They've made a career as an internet influencer. Well, really, that's the way I want us to understand what Jesus is teaching us in the Sermon on the Mount. When he said to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, he's saying, you go influence. You go influence the world for my sake. You carry what I want to do through you. You carry that to the ends of the earth. And so we're going to talk about this morning. I want to set the stage a little bit just reading the first two verses, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Now, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach. Now, we know from the Gospels and the background, there were many crowds of people that would gather, and Jesus had become a popular teacher. And so there were probably many, many thousands of people gathered on the sea of the shore of the Sea of Galilee. The lake is actually, we would call it a big, huge lake, and to listen to him teach. And then Jesus called his disciples even closer up to him, and he began to teach them. And we call it the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's chapter 5, 6, and 7. Matthew is the only gospel writer that gives it to us in its entirety. Luke gives us portions of it and the way he organized and wrote his gospel about the life of Jesus. But Matthew gives it as one big sermon. And what a powerful sermon it is. It's very similar. I want to draw a contrast. There was another mountain in the Old Testament that God told Moses, you go up on this mountain, Mount Sinai, and I'm going to give some words for you to take down to my people, the nation of Israel. And I want you to take these principles that they are to follow. And we know basically that was the Ten Commandments. Moses went up on the mountain. He got the Ten Commandments. Well, here Matthew is kind of reminiscing that event in the Old Testament, but he wants us to know Jesus did something similar, but even greater. Because Jesus on the mountainside is teaching us how to live in God's world. How to follow Jesus in the way God intends. And as we follow Jesus in the way God intends for us, we will make a tremendous difference in the world around us by the influence we can have on them. And so this is a very powerful section of Scripture that's recorded for us. Now, I've preached through it many times. I know your pastor has preached through it. That's why a lot of what I'll say this morning, I'll just say, you've probably heard this, so I won't go into detail. But I do want to skip down to the verses that I think are important for the theme that I want us to talk about. Make a difference in the world for Jesus. Be an influencer for Jesus. So let's go on down to verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. He's talking to us about being an influence on the world around us. And notice he's talking about the world. He didn't say just be an influence in your home or just be an influence in your city. He said, you are the salt of the earth, God's earth. Everybody in it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And then later he says with that second picture of how to be an influence, he said, you're the light of the world, the whole world, God's big wide world. And so you and I have that global worldwide mandate to make a difference for Jesus, not only where we are, but that influence can extend to the ends of the earth. And that was Jesus' commission in the end of this gospel. You're very familiar with the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. One other general comment, and then I want to talk about these two word pictures. How to be an influencer, understanding what Jesus said, you're the salt. How to be an influencer by understanding what Jesus said, you're the light. And so those two word pictures, metaphors, if you like the English terms, are ways that we understand how Jesus wants us to be practical. Because here's the difference. Even though we compare the mountain of Moses in the Old Testament. God gave the Ten Commandments, the mountain Jesus climbed on so everybody in the crowd could hear him. He gave us principles to live by. And so the difference in those two settings and the content God gave us, the Ten Commandments were things not to do. Don't have any other gods before me. Don't commit adultery. Don't commit murder. Jesus came along in the New Testament and he said, hey, all of that is really what God wants us to do by understanding what not to do. But Jesus drives it even further into the heart. You remember Jesus said later in the Sermon on the Mount, I didn't come to change the law. See, that's what he was being accused of. You're changing the law of Moses. Moses said, do not murder. And Jesus said, do not get angry. And Jesus was talking about, you know where murder starts? It starts in your heart. So the Old Testament were commandments of things not to do. The new commandments Jesus is giving us now are principles that come from your heart, because it's really from the heart that Jesus can change us. And then what we do, the motives are more in line with how we can have an effect on others. You see, Jesus battled the Pharisees. They knew all the commandments. They committed every one. But what did Jesus say about them over and over? Your heart's not right. Your heart's not right. You look clean on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of death. You're full of dead men's bones. You see, people can have a religion, but have no faith in God. Because a religion is practices and rituals and certain kind of prayers you say and how many times a day you pray. Our world is full of religion, the biggest, most fastest growing religion in the world. They pray five times a day. So when I said that, you probably know what I'm talking about. God wants his practice of what's real and true and that will guide people to the proper understanding of understanding who God is and how to live in God's world. He knows that only comes through Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. Now let's look at these two lessons that we get from Jesus about how to be an influencer. Number one is this, and I am an outline kind of person. If you like to take notes, I'll try to make it easy for you. If you want to make a difference or be an influencer for Jesus, we got to understand this. Only a life that has been influenced by Jesus can have influence on others for Jesus. You see what Jesus is trying to tell us? He gave us the Beatitudes before he gave us that word picture, be the salt of the earth, be the light of the world. So we learn how to be an influencer by knowing how salt works. Jesus picked salt. He could have picked other images or metaphors to use to say how we're supposed to influence for good the world around us. But he picked salt. He said, you're the salt of the earth. Salt was valuable in Jesus' day. In fact, the Roman soldiers many times were paid their salary in salt. The Latin word salum is what we get the English word salary from. And that was the Latin word for salt. And Jesus is saying, hey, you're valuable. You're valuable. Salt was a very popular antiseptic. It would fight infection and disease. Do you realize there was a custom in the Old Testament when babies were born, many times the birth attendants would cover the newborn baby in salt. Why? To help prevent infection that could take place. And I know they did the best they could, you know, in primitive conditions to try to keep a newborn sanitized. But there was a lot of infection available in the birth tent of those Old Testament mothers who were giving birth to those numerous children. They would cover the baby in salt. That's hinted at in Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 4, if you want to look it up and verify it later. But salt, people, we have the old saying, you pour salt in your wounds, you know, it kind of stings a little bit, but it can help. That's one of the old remedies. Salt decays, it stops the decay of meat. I remember my grandparents talking about the old days of the smokehouses and salting down the meat. Even in Jesus' day, they didn't have refrigeration. And so all those fish they caught out of the Lake of Galilee, they to sell them in the market, they had to salt them down and preserve them and keep the fish from rotting. And there's nothing that smells worse than rotten meat, is it? You ever had a freezer full of deer meat and your power go out and you didn't know it? And you go out there in a few weeks to get you some deer sausage, and all of a sudden you raise that lid and you I can't take it. It's a gag, man, you know. And so that's what happens without salt when you have no refrigeration. And so salt was a cure for many illnesses. It could be an antiseptic, it could be but it was also a symbol of purity. In Leviticus chapter 2:13, and there are many other references if you want to do a search on it sometime, about how salt was used in the sacrifices. And God required, this is what he said, let me just read this one verse. Season all your grain offerings with salt. Do not leave the salt of the covenant of your God out of your grain offerings. Add salt to all your offerings. God wanted to paint a picture because they knew how salt was a preventive for decaying meat, and how it was an antiseptic, how it was could prevent diseases and infections from growing. And he just wanted to remind, that's the purpose of the sacrifice. That's to atone for your sins, to be right with God, so that your sin doesn't keep growing in your heart and in your life and rot you away. Because that's what the Bible teaches. The wages of sin is death. Sin kills life. And God has a cure for that. And he wants to spread that cure all around the world, but he wants to spread the cure through those who have already been cured. You and I are the salt of the earth. Jesus has cleansed us of our sin, and he's put our hearts clean before God, not because of anything we've done, but because of everything he did for us. He was the ultimate sacrifice on the cross for our sin. By his blood, we are cleansed, the Bible says. We're cleansed by his blood. We're made pure through his blood. And one of my favorite uses of salt, it flavors food. You know, I salt things even without tasting it. My wife gets on to me all the time. She said, how do you know I didn't already put enough salt in that? I said, it's just a habit, but I could always use a little more. You know, I like salt. And I know doctors used to tell us, don't eat too much salt. But I've never been fond of doing everything the doctors say anyway, so you can look at me and tell that. But anyway, but I love the flavor. And you know how that flavor works? You can put some salt in those fresh peas that we bought at the market this past summer. I love the fresh vegetables. And you can put some salt in that pot as you're cooking those peas. And what does that salt do? It just permeates the whole pot. It just kind of spreads and it makes its presence known, and you can taste it, and it makes what's in the pot better because you've put the salt in the pot. Well, God is saying, here's how I'm going to make society better. I want to send you out to be the salt of the earth. You go and you fight sin. You help people know there's only one cure for sin, and that's Jesus Christ. There's only one way to live a life that pleases God, and that's with the help of Jesus Christ. Be the salt of the earth, and you and I can be an influencer, because only those of us who have been transformed by Jesus have any credibility to help others know how they can be changed by Jesus. You see? Now, why haven't we already done that? Why haven't we already reached the whole world? Why haven't we reached the whole United States? Why has faith been on the decline for the last 50 or 60 years in the United States, when we supposedly have church after church after church with people claiming to be Christian and on church rolls? I think you and I know the answer to that. Many people who profess to be Christians haven't really been changed by Jesus. And if you hadn't been changed by Jesus, you don't have a desire to see Jesus change other people. And so it's hard to to be a witness to others when there's no dramatic, passion, burning desire in your heart that reminds you every day, I'm not the same person I used to be because Jesus has changed me. And He's made me a better person, and I have desires now to follow Jesus that I didn't used to desire. And I have desires that I used to have. Jesus has helped me overcome those sinful desires because I understand sin takes my life away. And that's why God told us things not to do in the Old Testament. He wasn't telling us, hey, let me see if I can make your life as miserable as it can be. No more adultery, no more stealing, no more murder. You know, you can. God told us those things not to make our lives miserable, but to make our lives better. You just think. Let's just boil it down to life in America. If there were no murders and no stealing and no adultery, and no false witnessing, and if everybody honored the Sabbath, and if everybody worshiped God and only God, how much better would our world be? That's what God wants for us. And He's preparing that better world for the world to come. But He wants us to work on it while we're here. Later, when He talks about prayer, Lord, he taught His disciples, He said, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We want Your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Well, He's telling us practically how to live in God's kingdom. And He's telling us as a result of what Jesus can do to change you, to influence you, you can take that influence and you can point others to that same kind of change. And let's battle sin, and let's battle Satan, and let's make people's lives better because Jesus is the only cure for the thing that ruins our lives, which is sin. Now, how can you be transformed by Jesus? Well, it's no consequence that He gave us the Beatitudes first. And I know you've already noticed your watch, so I'm not going to preach on the Beatitudes because there's eight of them. Can you imagine how much longer we would be here? But you go back and read the Beatitudes. Why did He give us the Beatitudes first? Because these are the attitudes, these are the characteristics that describe a life that is surrendered to Jesus. You can't think this way without Jesus changing your heart. All of these values, the principles of the Beatitudes, all of those don't make earthly sense. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That means I got to recognize I'm absolutely nothing, God, without You. Life has nothing for me, God, without You in my life. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. Blessed are the ones who mourn. What does that mean? You're brokenhearted over what sin does to break our lives. Not only does sin break our lives, it breaks our homes, and it breaks our cities, and it breaks our world. We have a broken world. We have a fallen, broken world. The only cure is to be sorrowful over that, because when we're sorrowful over that, that's what drives us to repentance. If you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. That means I've got to acknowledge what my sin has done to me. It's hurt my life, but it's pushed God away from my life. So I'm broke. I'm at the end of my life. I'm poor in spirit. I'm brokenhearted. Sin has destroyed me, and I need Jesus. And you could take all those Beatitudes and go right down the list. A person who has those eight attributes of personality or attributes of inward desire. So see, those are things you measure inwardly in your heart, and then it reflects what you do with your actions every day. You see, that's the whole purpose of the Beatitudes. So He gave us those first, and He said, okay, based on what I can do to influence you, which is the eight Beatitudes, Jesus will influence us to be those kinds of people We can't be those kinds of people without Jesus transforming us first. Then what can we do with that? Jesus said, you're going to be the salt of the earth. You're going to be the light of the world. So go out there and make a difference in my kingdom. Help build my kingdom here on earth and make my kingdom of heaven bigger, because you've been changed and you want others to change. So the church now has a few years. Things have changed politically. Things have changed a little bit this year in a lot of ways. Some good, some not so good. But there is an open door for revival, church researchers say. I read an article in February of this year from the Barna Research. He says there's about 5 years now where we have an open door to share the gospel in greater ways than we ever have before. But we've got to take advantage of the opportunity now. And you know what? I see glimmers of that already happening. I'll tell you, if you haven't kept up with some of the revivals that are taking place on college campuses, in 2023, in February, I think it was, there was that Asbury revival. For 16 days, the Holy Spirit fell upon a group of students having chapel, and it lasted for 16 days. And a word of that spread across the United States and the world. In fact, I read an article just recently. The president of Asbury College, Kevin Brown, wrote an article 2 years later. He wrote this article in April of this year, in 25, reflecting on that Asbury experience. He said, for 16 days, we had an unplanned outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We had 50,000 guests, many of whom were young adults, college students, from 280 other colleges. They heard about it, and students were hungry to go see a move of God. And it represented 39 states. And there was revival in that place. But then that revival sent thousands of God-touched young people back to those 39 other states. And do you know, just a few months after that, how many of you heard about that big revival in Auburn University? I know you may not be Alabama, or you may, you know, but Auburn, my family was anti-Auburn. We're a Roll Tide people. I'm from Jasper, Alabama. But anybody remember they had a student-led movement of God one night? Coaches were involved in that. And 350 people came to Christ, and they set up portable baptisms, and they baptized those students. And it was just a few months after Asbury Revival. And do you know that there was a movement sparked, an organization called Unite Us, by a mother? It was started by a mother who was connected to that worship at Auburn, and her pastor and other church family were involved in that. Her daughter was once on one of the Bachelor series shows, and she prayed for her daughter to be a godly young lady, and she prayed for her daughter's generation. They've been praying for years, like many of you. And so when that revival broke out at Auburn University, God put it in her heart to start an organization immediately. And she recruited some people and some business acquaintances and formed a board. And now that organization of evangelism through college campuses called Unite Us has seen over 20, let's see, I've got the numbers. I wrote it down as I read the article. They've seen over 20,000 students come to know Christ. They have had rallies on 20 college campuses. They go as they are invited. And so that Asbury movement sparked, just a few months later, a greater national movement. See, that's what salt does. When salt is serious about being salt, it spreads and it influences and it has a positive effect on the world around it. And now they go by invitation to college campuses. This past week or so, they were at Tennessee University, October the 1st. They had 8,000 students attend the worship gathering. 500 students gave their lives to Christ. Now, can you believe that? We don't hear that on the news, do we? Unless you watch Christian news or have some Christian news resource. But I'll tell you. And then guess what happened after these college campuses were awakening to the gospel? What did Satan try to do with another ministry that was touching college campuses for the cause of Christ, Charlie Kirk and Turning Point Ministry? Satan says, we got to stop that. Charlie was assassinated, but the movement has grown dramatically since then. I want to tell all the young people in the room, get in on this movement. It's your movement. The young adult generation is going to make the difference that my generation didn't make. And I'm sad to say, I was a part of that generation that allowed the salt to stay in the salt shaker instead of busting the salt out into the community where it's really needed. It's needed where the people are drowning in sin and disobedience to God, and their lives are being ruined. Their homes are being broken. It's just a terrible, terrible effect sin has had upon our society. And Satan has had a field day for several generations now. And he's okay with Christians who are just casual Christians. But when you get excited about God's changed my life, and man, I want to see him change somebody else's life, Satan can't stop that. Jesus promised that he couldn't. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church that's real, the church that is alive, the church that is passionate, the church that has a hunger and thirst after righteousness, the church that believes, blessed are the merciful, they shall receive mercy. People don't need what they deserve. If you and I got what we deserve, we wouldn't even be here this morning. But God gave us his mercy. We got to help other people who in our minds say they don't deserve God being good to them. If they didn't deserve it, we didn't deserve it either. And see, we have to break out of that mindset and let God help us be the salt of the earth. That second picture is this, the light of the world. What does Jesus teach? Just very quickly, because you know this passage very well. Only a life with the salt, only a life influenced by Jesus can influence others for Jesus. Number two, the ultimate way to give glory to God, now that I've been changed and I'm one of God's, the ultimate way to give glory to him is to guide others to him. So what did Jesus say about the light? He said, let your light shine. You're the light of the world. Let your light shine. Light's not meant to be covered up and hidden. There's no room for secret Christians. No room for Christians who don't have the courage to stand up and stand out for Jesus in today's dark world. We got to be the light. And light was the first thing God made. Genesis chapter 1. First thing God created was light. Revelation chapter 22. God's telling us about a time we would need no more light. He's telling us about heaven. We sang about it some. He said there won't be any sun, moon, stars there. There won't be any need for that anymore because God's presence will be the light for heaven for all eternity. So God gives us the light now to shine, not to let people see how good I am. Let your light shine, he said in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We don't need to do good so other people say, oh, Brian, I was good, man. He's one of God's special people, you know. No, if I'm doing that to let people see me, I'm missing the whole point. I'm shining a light to say, look at God. Look at Jesus. Look at the cross. Look at that kind of love. That's the kind of love God wants us to point people to. Light is a guide. Light is designed to be visible. And our light should point to the source of life, the source of light. You remember in John's gospel, he says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light Jesus is talking about is synonymous with the presence of God. We have an obligation as Christians who have the presence of God who has lit up our world to go and point others to the same God who will light their world. There's nothing more panicky than being in the dark. I used to go, when I was pastor here, I went to the YMCA all the 29 years I lived here, worked out. Well, in the new YMCA over here, it was a thunderstorm, came through in the middle of the afternoon. I'd go on Wednesday afternoons because I could get my workout in and then get ready for church that night, Bible study. And so we had one of those summer thunderstorms. The power went out. I was in the shower at the YMCA. You know what you can see in there, in that enclosed place where there's no windows? Absolutely nothing. I've got nothing but a towel in there with me. The light goes out, and there's no emergency lighting in there. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how in the world am I going to get to my locker? So I began to feel my way out of those shower doors and find that concrete block wall, and I kind of knew the configuration. I'd been there so much, feeling my way down the wall, and then I thought, oh man, when I get to my locker, I'm not going to be able to see the combination on my combination lock. I'm not going to be able to get my clothes. And then I hear some ladies hollering at the door, anybody in there? And I said, yes. She said, what do you need? I said, a flashlight. So one of the mamas that heard me happened to be a member of our church. Young lady, how embarrassing. She said, I don't want to come in there, but if you'll come to the door, I'll give you my phone and you can use your light. So in the dark, I'm trying to keep my towel around me. And I'm making my way to the side of the door and I grab her phone. And then I'm able to go see my lock and open the combination, get my clothes out. But you know, there for about 15 minutes, I was helpless spiritually. You and I see people like that every day. They're floundering through life. Many of them don't even know how helpless they are. And they're running into block walls, making bad decisions, trying to figure things out that they do not have the capacity to figure out. Because without Jesus, life doesn't make sense. There's nothing like a life lived in the darkness. And Jesus said, my people are going to do something about it. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. So when people see me and when they hear me talk and when they see you and hear you talk as we go through life every day, are they guided to the presence of God? Are we being a light that shows them a way to find the light of Jesus that can light their soul? Jesus said, if we've really been transformed and we've become the person, the beatitude described, which is really the character of Jesus, when that character is transforming my character, Jesus said, I got all the confidence in the world. You're going to be the salt of the earth. You're going to be the light of the world. More than ever, we need to practice that. Let's pray, and then we'll have our decisions on. Lord, thank you for your word today. I just pray that these familiar images we've heard about the Sermon on the Mount, I know this congregation has had many sermons and studies, but Lord, let this be a reminder. You are sparking a revival through your people. You're doing it with the younger generations of today. And Lord, as we look at history, these great awakenings have always been led by the young generations. Help us be a part of it. Help us to be excited that we want to see people come to know Christ in greater numbers than ever before. I pray that Trinity Baptist Church, I want to see their baptism used so much that they've never seen it used so much. Maybe even some will worry about how they're going to pay the water bill. But Lord, you'll provide that if we'll just be the salt and we'll be the light. So would you move in the hearts of those today that may just want to recommit to you? Maybe there's somebody here who's not a Christian. Lord, they feel like they're in the dark, trying to be a better person and they can't, trying to see life go better for them and it won't. And maybe what they really need, Lord, is just to come to know Jesus in a real and personal way. Lord, the Bible says your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So help somebody see the light where Jesus said, therefore, if you confess me before men, and I'll confess you before my Father. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray that somebody would reach out for the light of God's love through his son Jesus today. Take them from the darkness of sin to the light of life. And we'll praise you for that in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Let's sing with Jack as he leads us. Okay. All right.
God bless you, man. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you.
Okay. Oh, you want me to use that? Okay. Oh, man. Okay. I want to get this straight this time because last week I was thinking for last Sunday. So you're a week ahead. So we had Brother Daniel here. So that was me. I wanted to. Just a couple things. Small groups tonight. So we've got Lost Cause led by Neil Howard. We've got the Daniel Prayer led by Rhonda Howard. Oh, you're finished? Okay. And I think All Places to Go, you've got two more. And I think, Neil, we got two more. Right? Okay. So if you don't have anything to do tonight, come on down. Also, Trinity Connect. I wanted to remind you that you need a ticket. We just need to know how many chickens to get. That's real important to Mitch for some reason. I don't know why. But they're going to be back here and they'll be up here. So Billy and Sandy and I think Mitch will be giving you a ticket number. Write it down. Don't forget it. No, just kidding. So anyway, I think that's about it. All right, Brother Jack, it's your turn.
Good day. It's been a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Brother Brian, I appreciate you coming and sharing that with us. It was an absolute pleasure being with you today and being able to serve with you. But let's go out there and be the salt this week. Amen. Let's go do that. Tell somebody about Jesus and how much he loves them. And soon and very soon, we'll go and see him. All right, let's sing that.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah. Soon and very soon, We are going to see the King. Hallelujah. Soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to see the King.
Y'all have a blessed week.